Welcome to you all, and thank you for being with us this Sunday morning. You know, as we continue to gather around these particular scripture passages, we begin to see how Jesus, in his ministry in the Galilean region around the Sea of Galilee, is beginning to not only change, it's beginning to be changed in the way it's received. Where once Jesus was a marvelously popular figure for his deeds of service, for his acts of kindness, the healings and the feedings, his words have begun to challenge the people around where he is. And as he continues to challenge their preconceived notions, the reaction is nowhere near as positive. Jesus' challenge goes so far as to challenge the way they have historically behaved. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes are not very happy about this. So they come to Jesus with conflict in mind. And they say to Jesus, "Why do you allow your disciples to break God's laws?" And Jesus questions whether or not they're actually breaking God's laws. He says, "Well, yes, I understand my disciples are doing some things that aren't part of the traditions of the elders, the way we Jews have traditionally behaved." Most notably, he says, "Yes, my disciples are not following the strict code of cleanliness, of washing one's hands very thoroughly before meals. They have, at times, behaved in ways, frankly, that normal people behave in." They're basically accusing Jesus' disciples of being messy eaters, people who maybe snack without washing their hands really thoroughly first. And this has been a part of the Jewish tradition. But Jesus says, is this actually breaking God's laws? Or is this breaking human laws that have been put in place of God's laws? And he rather specifically challenges them about this. Now, to understand what it is that is so fundamentally different about what Jesus is teaching and why it was received so badly, you have to consider and understand how the Jewish people understood the notion of, and how we as Christians understand differently, the notion of salvation. And salvation is an important theological concept for people of God. It basically means, are we right with God? And has God invited us to be a part of his life? And in the Christian church, we talk about salvation, and it's a field of study called soteriology, in two rather specific ways. And it's not that the one way is better than the other way, or that the one way trumps the other way. Really, it's probably closer to say that these are two sides to the same coin. Actually, maybe even closer than that, two sides to the same sheet of paper, even. The one side talks about what we call justification. The other side talks about what we call sanctification. It's super important that we as believers understand these two categories as we understand salvation. You may say, "Well, Pastor Russ, that sounds like theology. Probably better to leave that to the experts. I don't know that I need to know that." And I'm going to tell you right here and now that misunderstanding salvation is exactly what today's gospel passage is about. See, sanctification and justification are these two sides that if they're out of balance, or if one is left out completely, the salvation that ought to be occurring, in which a human being and God are in right relationship, is thrown completely off, and people wind up not only not being in right relationship with God, they wind up not being in relationship with God at all, which is what Jesus is accusing the Pharisees and the Sadducees of in this very passage. Basically saying, you're so concerned about these things that you have taken them out of balance and you have ceased to be in right relationship with God. So what do these two things mean? Well, the first one is justification. And you may think you have an idea what that means based on the way the word sounds, but you have to know that justification comes from the word in Latin, justus. Justus means saint. And so when we say justification, we basically mean sanctification. What does it mean to be made a saint? It means to be made holy and completely sinless, blameless, and perfect before the eyes of God. Now, you and I may think that as human beings, that's outside of our ability to accomplish. And of course, that's why the Roman Catholic Church holds saints up so far, is that there are these human beings that have accomplished this great act of being sinless. But of course, we as Lutherans know that that's not possible. A human being can't be sinless except by the grace of God. We are taught that justification comes from Jesus Christ and Christ alone. No matter how hard you or I are going to try in our lives, we can't ever point to our lives and say, look, I've never committed a sin. I've never done anything wrong. I've never in any way, shape, or form disobeyed God's will. In fact, most of us can't say, I've never done anything wrong in the last 10 minutes. I've never disobeyed God's will in the last hour. More often than not, if we're honest about our behaviors, we're full of faults and flaws and failures. And in the Lutheran Church, we teach that this is a perfectly natural, although not desirable, state of the human existence. We are sinners from birth, each and every one of us faulted and flawed. And because we are faulted and flawed, we cannot be justified by our own behaviors and actions. We can't stand before God sinless, which means we can't justify ourselves, no matter how hard we might try. And so what we know is that because we believe in Jesus Christ, because he gave his life for us on the cross, because he took all of our sins with him to the cross, that whosoever believes in Jesus Christ is saved, holy and completely forgiven of their sins, we know that our justification is a free gift given by God for those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, and that we are made wholly sinless in the eyes of God through this sacrifice. What is sanctification? Well, sanctification means that those who are put in this state of holiness then are encouraged to behave in a holy way. Sanctification means that process by which our lives come to resemble the life of Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit guides us into holiness, by obeying God's words, by doing the things that are right. The sanctification doesn't earn us our salvation. We can't fake it. We can't say, well, I'm going to do all of the things God wants me to do until I become perfect, and then I'll be saved, because, of course, we know that'll never happen. We do the things because we are saved through the grace of Jesus Christ on the cross. We do good deeds because we are responding to God's grace that he has first given us. So there is the gift that we receive in salvation, and then there is the action that that inspires us towards. Sanctification and justification working together. In a Christian, if we chose to ignore sanctification, then we have what Dietrich Bonhoeffer called cheap grace, where we say, Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. My sins are forgiven, so I can live any way I want to live, do anything I want to do, or not do anything that I don't want to do, and I'm forgiven no matter what. So I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to obey God's laws. I can do whatever society does, and I know I'm saved. Now, it might sound like I'm talking in hyperbole, but there are people who live their lives that way. So justification without sanctification is cheap grace. But on the other side of this, if we say to people, well, I'm going to focus on sanctification without justification, then it all becomes about what do I do to be enough before the eyes of God? What have I done right? What have I done wrong? And then the guilt for what we've done wrong can become a crippling factor. Or worse yet, we might convince ourselves that we're not sinners, that we're not doing things wrong, because we can't handle the guilt. And then we become self-righteous. And so this is what we call works righteousness. On the one side, justification with no sanctification, cheap grace. No real relationship with God there, just cheap grace. On the other side is works righteousness, where we try to pat ourselves on the back and usually beat other people down, but no real relationship with God. That's works righteousness. And that's exactly what Jesus is accusing the Pharisees and the Sadducees of right here in this passage. He's saying, your hearts are wrong. What comes out of you is wrong. It's not the dirty food that goes into you. It's not that your hands are dirty and that you've... It's the thoughts and the feelings within your heart. You have no faith in God. You only have faith in your own righteousness that you've created in your own head because you believe you're better than other people. We have to have these things in balance because justification and sanctification are both how we understand salvation. Without salvation, we have no hope. We have no future, and we have no relationship with God. So we believe in the grace of Jesus Christ that has offered us life, life abundant and life forever, and we rely on that belief to spur us towards the works of the kingdom, following, behaving, and obeying all that God calls us to do. Not because it brings us salvation, but as a response to our salvation. This is what Jesus is trying to teach the Pharisees and Sadducees here. That it's not all of the dirty food that they've eaten that's making them not in right relationship with God. It's what comes out of them. Their self-righteousness, their rejection of God's grace in place of their own force of will and their own certainty that they're better than everyone else. We as Christians must live a balance between these two great things.